All right, Chaposai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf lamed. We are picking up on Chof Tesson Beis 29b, and we're picking up at four lines up from the bottom. Some more practical advice from Rabbi Yochanan. So the shir this morning is dedicated by my family in the commemoration of my grandfather's Zichron Levracha's yard site. Menachem Mendel ben Levi David HaKohen, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. Amen. Rabbi Yochanan, mi sheniach lo aviv ma'oz harbe v'rotzi la'abdon. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if somebody inherited a lot of money, literally somebody's father left him a lot of money, and he wants to lose it quickly. So obviously this is said a little bit facetiously. Somebody inherited a lot of money, and he's interested in losing it quickly as well. What should he do? Yilbash big day pishtan. You should wear linen garments. V'yishtam ish b'kli zechuchis. And you should use glass utensils. V'yiskar po'alim. V'al yeshev imayin. And you should go ahead and hire workers, and don't supervise them. So what does this mean? The Gemara explains each of these things. B'kli pishtan, what does it mean? You should wear linen garments. So he says, "Bekisna rumisa," with this Roman linen. So this type of Roman linen, which apparently was very expensive, but also tore very easily. Bishtamish bekli zechuchis. What does it mean? You should use a glass utensil. Bizugisach yurta, white crystal. So again, which also is very fragile, and also goes ahead and very fragile and is very expensive. The Yiskar Poland Vayeshev Iman, he should hire workers and not sit with them. What does that refer to? Targuma, so we explain this to mean, top of Lamed Amud Aleph, Biture Dinafish Psidaihu. So Rashi on Chof Tesmon Beis says, Biture Polim Hamanhigim Bishari Balabayas. These refer to workers who go ahead and work with the oxen of the Balabas. And Rashi says on top of Lamed Amud Aleph, Dinafish Psadayu, because they cause a lot of loss. Shirov Avodas Karko Shalahan Bishvarim Haisa Av Harisha Sakramim Ubitsirasim. So Rashi points out over here that often the oxen were used to take care of vineyards. Now, when you use oxen and vineyards, a person has to be exceptionally careful for two reasons. Number one, if the oxen themselves are not careful, so they'll ruin the vineyards. Furthermore, the oxen could get bruised or injured by the vines themselves. So when the balabas is there, so the workers go ahead and take extra care. When the balabas is not there, the workers kind of do whatever they want, and in the process they end up ruining the vines, and they also end up injuring the oxen. So Rabbi Yochanan obviously is dispensing advice over here about how to go ahead and be vigilant with one's finances in order that one does not spend money on things that ultimately will cause one a loss in the long run. So remember again, we saw in the Mishnah that if I find the garment, so my obligation is to go ahead and air it out once every 30 days. So the Mishnah just pointed out that I'm only supposed to air out the garment for the benefit of the garment, but not for my own covet. So remember again, we gave the example yesterday that if I find, you know, a nice scarf, so I can hang it up on my wall as a nice wall decoration. But Lamai said that would be for my own benefit, even like a taina that it's for the scarf as well. You can't do that. So says the Gemara, Ibailahu. What happens if Lamaisa, I could go ahead and air out the garment in a way that benefits the garment, but also benefits me? In other words, it's a win-win. The garment gets what it needs, and I get a little bit of enjoyment from the garment as well. So is that permitted? So the Gemara says, Tashma, what we learned, Shotcha Lutzarka. So we learned in the Mishnah that you're permitted to go ahead and hang out the garment for its own purpose or for its own benefit. Lutzarka in Halutzarcho Ulutzarcha Lo. So we'll say we can infer from this that it's only for the exclusive benefit of the garment that one is permitted to air out the garment, but not for the joint benefit of the garment and for me. To which the Gemara says, well, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Avalo Lichvodo. Yet the Mishnah said, I'm not permitted to air out the garment in a way that benefits me. Lichvodohu dolo. So maybe the Mishnah said like this, I'm not allowed to air out the garment in a way that's a benefit, exclusive benefit for me. Ha litzarka u litzarcho. Shapir dami. But in a way that benefits the garment and benefits me. perhaps that is permitted. Rather, it becomes clear that I can't resolve this from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah does not point me in a clear direction regarding this question. We'll say Lamed Amud Aleph 30a, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. Tashma. So let's try to resolve this from another braisa. Lo yishtachena, lo agabe mita, velo agabe magod. So you are not permitted, talking about a garment that you find, so you're not permitted to spread it out on the bed or on a peg, litzarcho, for one's own benefit. Aval yishtachena, agabe mita, vi agabe magod, litzarcho. But you are permitted to go ahead and spread out the garment on the bed or on the peg for the benefit of the garment, meaning to air out the garment itself. Listen to this case. So let's say I go ahead and there's company over at my house. So we'll say, again, now in this kind of case over here, by spreading out the garment, I could benefit from the garment because it's nice decor for my home. So lo yishtachena lo agabi mita, below agabi magod. So we'll say in that case, one should not go ahead and spread it out on the bed, nor should one spread it out on the peg. Bein litzarcho, bein litzarcho. We'll say whether for my benefit or for the garment's benefit. So this seems to be pretty clear that what? That halacha lemaisa, one should not go ahead and spread out the garment in a way where I derive any benefit, even if what? Even though it's not my exclusive benefit, the garment is actively being serviced as well. Nevertheless, the finder should not be receiving any kind of benefit, meaning even some type of, we'll call, I guess, tangential or secondary type of benefit from the airing out of the garment. To which the Gemara says, no, this is not a good raya. I'll tell you why. This is amazing. Shiny Hassam. This case is different. This case of the guests is different. The mikla kalila, because when you go ahead and you spread out that garment and there are guests in the home, it's as if you're burning up, destroying the garment. How so? Im yishum eina. So we'll say, so one possibility is because of ayin hara. Rashi says over here, im yishum eina, shetishlat ba ayin ra shal arachim. We'll say, just so you understand, without getting into a whole shir ayin hara, but the simple idea of ayin hara is, any time that I have a particular bracha, and I either flaunt that bracha or advertise that bracha in a way that causes someone else pain, so that leads the Ribono Shel Olam to say, if your bracha is going to cause someone else pain, then you don't deserve that bracha. There's much more to talk about with Ayin Hara, but that's the very simple idea. If my bracha becomes the source of someone else's pain, then Rabbi Shalom says, I'm sorry, that's not why. I didn't give you bracha to cause another Jew pain. So the Gemara says over here, so it could very well be somebody walks into my home, they see that garment, they say, oh wow, so beautiful. Perhaps it highlights to them what area they are deficient in. So therefore, again, Ayin Hara could cause me to lose it. Or, Imishum Ganvi. Or else, the other possibility is, Rashi says, Imishum Ganvi Pen Yignavua Orchim. Who says that my guests are scrupulous people? Maybe they'll see it, and they'll want it, and Lamaisa, they'll come to steal it. So we'll say, it's actually interesting. Therefore, the Gemara says over here that Lamaisa, when you are a shomer for something, there's dafka and inyan, even though, again, for certain things, I have an obligation to air it out, the airing out should not be done in the presence of other people, because that puts the item at risk, either on a spiritual level for ayin hara, or on a physical level, ultimately because of thieves. So the Gemara says the following: Tashma, hechnisa l'ravka v'dasha. So I'll say, so the Gemara is switching gears for just a moment. Now remember, we're still asking the same fundamental question, which is, now that I know that I have an obligation to go ahead and air out the garment once every 30 days, am I permitted to air out the garment in a way where I, the finder, get benefit from it as well? The benefit in this case would be its decor for my home. Am I permitted to do that? So the master defined, Tashma, Hechnisa l'Ravka v'dasha. So what we're talking, look at Rashi over here, Hechnisa l'Ravka be'egla arufa koi. Talk about egla arufa. So remember, egla arufa is the calf, the decapitated calf. It's the calf that's brought in the event that you find a body between two cities. The elders of the closest city go ahead and bring out this calf, break its neck, wash their hands over the calf, say, Yadenu lo shafchu dam zeh, our hands did not spill this blood. That is Egla Rufa. So the halacha is that by Egla Arufa, the animal has to be one, Asher lo ubad ba, Asher lo mashcha ba'ol. An animal that was not worked, and an animal that never pulled a plow. Never had a yoke on it, I should say. So the Gemara says the following. Let's say, I went ahead and I took the Egla Arufa, and I placed it into a Ravka. Now a Ravka is like a multi-hole yoke. So it's a yoke that could contain multiple animals. Rashi points out over here, three or four animals together. So I go ahead and I take the animal that was going to be used as an Egla Arufa, and I put it into the Ravka. I put it into this multi-animal yoke, but Vidasha, and it ended up plowing Kshera. Ultimately, again, the animal is still kosher. Rashi says over here, Kshera, whole wheel blown is Kavin Shetidosh. Because the way the Gemara is going to set this up over here is, although I placed it in the yoke, my intention was not that the animal should actually do any type of plowing. So the Gemara says, Bishil Shetinok Vetidosh, but if I placed it inside the yoke so that it should nurse from its mother and also plow, then Psula. Then the mice, again, the animal is going to be pasul. So we'll say in this kind of case over here, so the mother was plowing already. They brought in the Egla Arufa child animal into there to go ahead and nurse. But in this case over here, the Egla Arufa will be pasul. So we'll define this in just a moment. So we'll say this is a case of tsarcho and tsarcho. Because on one hand, again, it's in the benefit of the animal to go ahead and nurse. But it's also, I get benefit because the animal participated in the plowing. And what do you see from here? Vikatani psula. And I both say, you see pasul, right? The Mishnah Brisa Paskins pasul. What do you see from here? You see from here that anytime you do something, even though it's for the benefit of the animal, if you derive some type of benefit as well, it invalidates the process. Using that logic, in our case over here, when I air out the garment, So lemaisa again, even though I'm doing it for the benefit of the garment, if I derive some type of secondary benefit from it as well, as home decor or in some other way, so that is a prohibited process. To which the Gemara says you can't bring a rat from Egla Rufa. Shiny Hasan Damakra, Asher lo Ubad ba Mikom Makom. But the Egla Rufa is different, because the Egla Rufa, the halacha is, if any type of work was done with the Egla, so by definition it becomes possible, it becomes invalidated for you. So in this case over here, although my intention might have been to have the animal nurse, since it ended up plowing, therefore it will be possible. Marcel, one second, if that's the case, Yachi Afilu Reishanami. So we'll say, why isn't the first case the animal possible, right? The first case is also where the animal was placed in the yoke, to which the Gemara says, Halo Damya Elolaha. Because we'll say the first case is a little bit different. How so? It's comparable to the following situation. This nan, Shachan Aleha Of Kshera. We'll say, now this is actually interesting. This is talking about over here, a Para Aduma. So right, in this case of Para Aduma, what happens? So imagine you have the Para Aduma, and a bird comes and rests on top of the Para Aduma. So Rashi, so the Gemara says over here, so Kshera. So we'll say, so remember, Para Aduma also, you're not permitted to do any work with the Para Aduma. So if, however, the bird went ahead and rested on top of the Para Aduma is still kosher. So the Gemara says, Allah Allah Zachar Psula. But if a male animal mated with it, then ultimately, again, the animal will be possible. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi for just a moment. Allah Allah Zachar Shine Emar. Asher lo Allah aleha ol. So we'll say, by Para Aduma, the Torah says that the animal is only kosher of what? Asher lo Allah aleha ol. Only if a yoke did not come upon it. V'tanya ol, ainli ela ol. M'sechsot v'hayich nisa l'ref kavadasha d'lo nechalei, but dami l'shachin ala ol. Okay, so the Gemara says, so finally, my time, let's finish the Gemara first. My time, why is this? Kidra Papa. Dam Rapapa. So Rapapa says like this. Ikas iksiv ubad vikarinan ubad hava amina reyelan. I will say, remember the Torah says the following. The Torah says by Egla Arufa the following idea. So first of all, before we go on, the Gemara is suggesting over here that Lamaisa, when you place the animal, when you take the Egla Arufa, when you place it in the yoke, that's the equivalent of having the bird come to rest on top of the Para Aduma. Just like having the bird come to rest on top of the Para Aduma is not a problem of Avoda, so too, again, just having the animal in the yoke of the Egla Arufa is also not a problem of Avoda, and we're not go ahead and invalidate it. To which the Gemara now says the following. So we'll say, so why is it that the bird bird resting on top of the para aduma is not problematic. Meaning, at the end of the day, the para aduma is quote unquote supporting the weight of the bird. So why isn't that called like carrying a burden? To which the Gemara says is the following. So my time kid Rav Papa. Dam Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Iksiv Ubad. Vikarinan Ubad. So we'll say, remember, the Pasuk over here by Egla Arufa says, Asher lo Ubad ba, Asher lo Mashcha ba'al. So Ubad means work was done with it, which means that the owner didn't even necessarily participate or facilitate the work being done with the animal. It just happened to occur that way. So the Gemara says, if the Pasuk would have said Ubad, Vikarinan Ubad, and we read it as Ubad, Hava Amina Afilu Mamela, then I would have said if the animal ended up working, even just on its own, of its own volition, without the owner orchestrating that, that would invalidate the animal. V'iksev Avad, Vikarinan Avad. So we're saying if the Pasuk would have said Avad, and we would read it like Avad, in other words, it's not just written Avad, but it's read like Avad, we'll say Avad means that the owner worked the animal. Hava amina ad avad ba'ihu. Then I would have said that the only time that the animal is invalid is when the owner actively works it. But here's the interesting part. Hashta dechsev avad vikarinan ubad. Then here's the interesting thing. So the word in the Torah is written ayin beis dalid, which normally vocalized we would assume would read as Avad, right? Avad means that the owner worked the animal, yet we know it's actually vocalized as Ubad. So it's written as Avad, which means the owner worked it, but yet it's read as Ubad, which means it worked. It worked even without the owner's intervention. So what do I do? It's Hashra Dechsib Avad, the Karinan Ubad, Ba'inan Ubad, Dumya Da Avad. So we need Ravasa, we need it to be Ubad, similar to Avad. How so? Ma avad dinechale, af ubad dinechale. We'll say just as avad, right, which means that the owner facilitates the work, has to be something, a process or work that the owner is pleased with or that the owner wants. Af ubad, so to again, ubad also has to be dinechale. So we'll say, so bottom line, and this is true both for para aduma and for egla arufa, the halacha is that even if the owner doesn't facilitate the work of the animal, nevertheless, the work will invalidate the animal as long as what? It's the type of work that is objectively of benefit to the owner. Now, you'll tell you, anytime the animal does work, it's not a benefit. If it's going to ruin the paraduma or if it's going to ruin the egla rufa, we look at it in a vacuum, not as an animal specific, but in general, is this the type of work from which the owner would benefit from? If so, it would invalidate the animal for use. That's why a case of, let's say, where the bird comes to rest on the animal is not any kind of problem, because lemaisa, that's not the type of work that the owner would want. Now, I will say, now the truth is, for our purposes, our question is still left a little bit unanswered, because we were trying to figure out what about the airing out of the garment in a case where it's litzarcho and litzarka. So what would be the halacha in that case where I want to air out the garment in a way that benefits the garment but also benefits me? So the way the Rambam paskins is that halacha l'maisa, you cannot get any benefit from the airing out of the garment. So even though, again, I'm doing it, let's say, on the 30th day, which is benefits of the garment, but I might as well hang it up, you know, on my wall to make it look nice as well. That's usr. The finder is obligated to go ahead and air out the garment, but is not permitted to do it in a way in which he derives any kind of benefit. Says the Gemara Baiter. Klei kesef or klei nechoshes. Right. But because there are these other issues of Ayin Hara, there are these other issues ultimately of Ganvi, the halach is we don't say it like that. This is a zechas, that's the point. There is a potential chisaron over here for the owner of the object. Says the Gemara, klei kesef or klei nechoshes mishtamishpan. So remember again, we saw in the Mishnah that if you find silver or you find copper utensils, you're permitted to use them again at intervals in order to make sure that they do not decay. So Tan Rabbanan Hamosik liyetz mishtamishpan b'shosh lo yirkavu. If one finds wooden utensils, one is permitted to use it in order that it not rot. So we'll say, similarly, if you find copper utensils, you could use them with warm items, but not directly on the fire. Why? Because it was apparently to use copper utensils directly on the fire ultimately ruins them. The Gemara goes weiter. Silver utensils can be used with cold items, but not with anything hot, because it causes the silver to tarnish, to blacken. Magrifos v'kartumos, so shovels and axes, mishtamish bohen barach, avalo b'kosha. You can use them, I will say, on soft things, but not with anything that is hard. The idea being, because you blunt the axe, so you blunt the shovel like that. Gold and glass, lo yiga bahen achiyavo ilio. So what's with gold and glass? So remember again, we saw yesterday, gold and glass, you should just bury them and leave them, because gold will not tarnish in the earth, and glass, because it's so fragile, the concern ultimately is that it will go ahead and break. So the Gemara says, "Kiderach sha'amru ba'aveda kach amru bipikadon." So we'll say in the way in which we said ba'aveda. So we say the same thing with pikadon. So what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is these same instructions that we've said by a lost object also apply with a pikadon, an object that has been deposited with a guardian for safekeeping. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Pikadon, maya vida tegave. Boss said the general assumption is with a pikadon, somebody gives you something to watch, you have no usage rights over that. Your obligation is to watch it, but there's no usage. So Rav Adar Chama, Rav Shesh says, Pikadon shahalchu ba'alein l'medina sayan. Oh, boss said the case over here is where you have a pikadon and the owners went overseas. So when the owners went overseas, they're going to be gone for a while. At that point in time, part of my obligation in watching the item is what? Is also caring for it and making sure that it does not go down, in value. Says the Gemara, Matzah sak okupa v'chol dover shein darko litarei zaloyitos. We'll say now we come to an interesting sugya. So the Mishnah said, if I find literally a sack or a box, anything that I would not normally pick up, things that are beneath my dignity to pick up. So the halacha is that I am not obligated to go ahead and pick that up on behalf of someone else. So if I see a lost box or a lost sack, if it's beneath my dignity, I would not normally pick up such an item like this. I don't have to go ahead and do Ashavas Aveda either. Min Hani Mili, where do we know this? We'll say first wide line, Laman Abund Aleph. This, how do we know this? The Tanur Rabbanan, because we learned this Salamta. The Totan Habos, the Pasuk says over here, the Pasuk says, Lo sira es charach icha o es seyo nidachim. So if you see your friend's ox or his sheep lost on the way, visalamta mehem, you would turn away from them. So the Torah says you should not turn, meaning the Torah says lo sira, you should not see them and turn away. But it's written visalamta, you shall turn away, which teaches us pamim she'atam misalim upamim she'atam misalim. But so we see what the Torah is telling us is there are times when you are permitted to turn away, and there are times when you're not permitted to turn away. So when is this? Haketzad. Second line. Haya koin v'yuvei sakvaras. So for example, let's say I'm a koin and I see a lost object in the cemetery. Or shahaya zakin v'ena lefi kvodo. Or I'm an older person and it's beneath my dignity to go ahead and pick up this item. O shahay sam locha shalom merubim mishal chavero. This will be our next Mishnah. Or for that matter, let's say again, I'm engaged in a job and in work, and if I go ahead and I stop working, the loss that I will encounter is greater than the value of the object that I am retrieving. Therefore, in all of these cases, lekach ne'emar v'salamta mehem. But say, in these situations, the pasuk tells me that I am permitted to turn away from the object. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Lama yitzrikra. Which case among the cases we just mentioned actually requires a pasuk? Ilei mele kohen. If you want to say that ultimately again, it's for a kohen. V'hu b'vehiveves hakvaros. And the kohen is in the cemetery. So pshita. So then again, it's obvious. Hai asei v'hai lo saasei v'asei. Hai asei. So we'll say, if you're talking about a case of where the lost object is in the cemetery, then it goes without saying that a Kohen cannot go in there. How do I know that? Because Rav Osai, the obligation to go ahead and return a lost object is not said as a positive commandment. But yet for a Kohen to go into a cemetery is in violation of a lo saseh, le nefesh lo yitama, he cannot defile himself, and also an asay. The asay is kidoshim tiyu. So obviously, again, the asay of hashev teshivim, hashavas haveda, will not set aside an asay and a lo saseh of tumah. So I don't need a vehi salamta, I don't need another pasuk to teach me that. That's obvious. So the Gemara says, "Vissu lo dachinon isura mikamei mamona." Furthermore, we never set aside a prohibition, right, for monetary law. Elo l'shalom iru b'shach avero. Rather, we'll say it must be that it's talking about the case of where what? Where my loss, if I go ahead and I stop and retrieve the object, will be greater than the value of the object. To which the Gemara says, well, we learned that out, mid Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Nafka. But so we actually learned that out from Rav Yehuda, said in the name of Rav, Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Efes, Amud Beis, Efes, Kiloye Bechayev Yom. So we'll say, this is actually a very interesting drasha. So the Gemara says, in a case where if I stop to retrieve the item, I will suffer a greater loss than the actual value of the item. It's also, I don't need the Hesalamta to teach me that I don't have to go ahead and return the lost object. Because the truth is, we learned that out from somewhere else. Because Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rab, the Pasuk says, Efes ki lo yiyeh b'cha evyom. So the Pasuk says, Efes ki lo yiyeh b'cha evyom, that ultimately, Efes means like, but, that you will, there will not be a pauper among you. Now, I will say, now the way the Rav darshans that is, Shalcha kodem l'shal kol adam. It teaches me that my financial well-being comes before someone else's financial well-being. Now, I will say, now the way that Rav darshans that pasuk is, Lo yiyeh b'cha evyom. That ultimately, again, my first responsibility in life is to secure my own financial footing, and then ultimately I worry about the finances of others. So therefore, again, in a situation where if I stop to retrieve the lost object, I will suffer a financial loss that is greater than the value of the object. There is no halachic imperative to endure that loss. But I don't need the salamta to teach me that. I have that from a different pasuk. Ela lezakin ve'inu lefi kvodo. Rather, I will say, it must be that the pasuk really is there to teach me about the case of zakin ve'inu lefi kvodo. So that's the case of an older person, and the object that is lost, it's beneath his dignity to go ahead and retrieve it. So, you know, there's a zakin walking, and somebody lost a sock. So for a zakin, for an older person to go ahead and start bending down and picking up a sock and announcing the sock, so that's not according to his covet. Therefore, again, the Pasuk of Bisalamta says he has a right literally to turn away from that and to not engage in the mitzvah. He has a patur from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveva. Amarabba, but yet, Rabbi said there are certain caveats. Amarabba, Hikisha Chayiba. I'll say, let's say again, this would come up, let's say, within a case of, let's say, an animal. Let's say there's a certain animal, and it's in lefi kvodo, it's beneath the dignity of the older person to go ahead and retrieve it and try to return it. But let's say what he did is he went ahead and he gave it a little patch in order to get it to go ahead and run back towards its master. So I will say in that situation, once you move the animal, you take responsibility for it. It's an interesting halacha. So meaning the zakein might have an exemption. So the zakein, because of his status, he might not have to go ahead and engage the aveda. But once he engages in the process, then what? Then he's obligated ultimately to see it through. Abai havi yosef kamei de rabo. So Abai was once sitting in front of rabo. Chaz alahanich izi dikaimi. And he saw, apparently, like a group of sheep. I don't know, a flock of sheep, a group of sheep, a bunch of sheep that were lost. So what did he do? Shakal kala v'shadavu. So he took a clump of earth and he threw it at them in an effort to get them, I guess, to run back towards their master. Amarle, so I'll say Abaye. So Rabbi said to Abaye, Amarle, echayfta bahu kuma hadrinu. Now, you know, beforehand you weren't obligated to do anything with the goats. Now you're going to be now that you threw the clod of earth and you got them to move. Now halacha lemais, you have assumed responsibility to return them to their owner. Ibayluhu, darkol ha'chzir b'sadvei, darkol ha'chzir b'yirmahu. But so we have the following case. Let's say you have a situation of a zaking, of an elder. and there's a lost object. So it's the kind of lost object that if it was lost in the field and there weren't a lot of people around, so the Zakin would pick it up. But in a public setting, it's beneath his dignity to go ahead and pick up the object. In the case over here, is he finds the object. So let's use the sock. So what happens if he finds a sock? Now, if he found the sock in a public setting, the Zakin would not be obligated to stop and pick it up because it's beneath his dignity. But if he were to find the sock in the field, he would pick it up because the Maisa people aren't around, the people are not looking. So we'll say, so now he finds the sock in the field. So what's the halacha? Is he obligated to pick it up and return it or not? Mahu. So do we say, look, any time that you would not be obligated to pick up this item in any circumstance, essentially you're exempted from the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So since if you were to find it in the city, or in the Shusarabim, he would not be obligated to pick it up. Even in the field, he's not obligated to pick it up as well. Old Dilma, Besoda, or do we say that no? Means that you wouldn't pick it up under any circumstances. But as soon as what? As soon as there's some case where you would pick it up, then maybe you should be chayv in Hashavas Aveda, even in the city, to which the Gemara says, Teku. Okay, Eliana is going to have to answer this question. I'm sorry?
What's the age of the
Zakin? So this apparently is totally subjective. Because you can have... Zakin also is a reference, lav dafka, to age. Zakin is a reference to status. So you could have a person who could be young, but because of his status, ultimately, again, it's eno lefi kavodo. So Zakin is just the generic term for anyone who has a higher station slash status, where it's not appropriate for them to go out and pick something up. Amar Rava. So we'll say, Rava has actually an interesting barometer. So Rava says, anything, any object, that if you were to lose that object, you would pick it up, then you pick it up for someone else. But anything, so what that means is, anything that if I were to lose it, is significant enough for me to go ahead and pick it up and schlep it back, so I would do the same for someone else. V'chosha b'shalo porek v'toin, b'shal chaveir nami parek v'toin. So we'll say, you know, there's an obligation of priko t'ino. If you see an animal buckling under its load to unload the animal, or to go, the animal's, if its load fell off, to put it back on. Same thing, anytime that I would do that for my animal, I should go ahead and do that for someone else's animal as well. Rabbi Shua ben Rabbi Yossi, hava ka'azil ba'archa. So Rabbi Shua ben Yossi was one time traveling on the road. Listen to this case. Pagabe ha'u gavra. So let's say he bumped into a particular guy. Dari pischa du'ufi. So what happened? So the individual was carrying a bundle of wood. So osvino. Because Mispach, he took off the bundle of wood, and now he wanted to put it back on. So the individual wanted to put it back on. So Amarle Dolili. So we'll say, so the man said to Rabbi Yishmael, help me load up my wood. Now whether he knew that it was Rabbi Yishmael or not, I don't know. But in any event, he said to him, can you load the wood on my back? Amarle Kama Shavin. So Rabbi Yishmael says to the man, tell me, how much is the wood worth? Amarle, palgud de zuza, a half a zuz. So I say, what does Rabbi Shmuel do? Yohevle palgud de zuza. He said, you know what? Here's the money. Take the money, right? Here's a half a zuz. So I say, essentially what he did is he bought the wood from the guy. He said, here's the half a zuz, and fine, gamarnu. Va'afkara. And ultimately, again, Rabbi Shmuel makes the wood hefker. Hadar zachbu. So listen to this guy. So what happens? Such a shmendrik. So he goes ahead and he acquires the wood again. Remember, it was Hefker. Bishmal made it Hefker. He acquired it again. And now, so what does he do? He says to Bishmal, do me a favor, help me load up the wood. Hadar yoyev lepalga de zuza. So what happens? Again, Rabbi Shmal gives him another half of zuz, the afkara. And again, Rabbi Shmal made it Hefker. Chazi to have a kabbalah le'madu azachibu. I will say, Bishmal sees that now a second time, the guy is going back to reacquire the wood. Amarle, the kuli alma afkarinu ulacha lo afkarinu. Rabbi Shmuel says, I made this wood hefker for everyone but you. So the Gemara says, one second. Umi have hefker ki agavna. Is there such a thing of hefker like that? They're supposed to say hefker means everyone. Such a thing like hefker for everyone but you. So in the Hatzana we learned Beshamai omrim hefker laniim hefker. So it was actually an interesting case. Beshamai says if you make something hefker dafka for aniim. Dafka for the poor. So Beis Shammai says that is proper hefker. Beis Hillel omrin eno hefker achi hefker la'aniyim ula ashirim kishmita. Beis Hillel on the other hand says no. If something is only called hefker for Tzabosai, if it's hefker for everyone, for aniyim, for ashirim, just like shmita. Elder Rabbi Shlomo says, so if that's the case, so how could it be that Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi just made something hefker, or made something hefker for everyone but this guy? Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi, in fact, made it hefker for everyone. I said, so what did it mean when he said to the guy, accept you? He was just trying to go ahead and scare the guy off from reacquiring it. In other words, it really was hefker, and had the guy reacquired it, he would have reacquired it. Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi was looking to get him not to reacquire it, told him it's not for you. So the Gemara says, Vahar Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi Zokin, Ve'inu Lefi Kavod Dehava. So we'll say, but one second. What now, the Gemara seems to say over here, the way we understand this case is Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi bought the wood in order that he shouldn't have to go ahead and start loading the wood up on the guy's back. But Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi didn't have to do that anyway. Why? He was a Zokin. And therefore, Rabbi Shlomo said, this is Inu Lefi Kavodo. It's beneath his dignity to start going ahead and schlepping the wood and putting it on the guy's back. He was potter. He didn't have to buy the wood. To which the Gemara wants to listen to this. Lefnim Mishuras Hadin Hu David. Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi was going above and beyond the letter of the law. He was not obligated to do this, but ultimately, again, he goes above and beyond the letter of the law. The Tani Rabbi Yosef, isn't that beautiful, this Gemara is? Because Rabbi Yosef taught, we actually saw this Gemara earlier, Vahodat in Bab Kama. Vahodat Lohem. So Gemara darshans this pasuk over here of Vahodata Lohem Esaderech Yelchuba. That's Hamas Asher Yasun. This is actually Yisro talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. You will teach them the path that they shall walk on and the actions that they shall perform. So the Gemara Darshan says, "Vahodat Lahem." What does it mean? You shall instruct them. Ze Beis Chayehem. Rashi says, "What does it mean? You'll instruct them." Rashi says, "Lilmod Lahem Umnus Lehisparnespo." Teach them a profession. This is amazing. So Yisro, and I'll say what's even more amazing about this is Yisro talking to Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle of the desert. But yet he says the most important thing you can do for a person is give them a skill set, teach them a trade, give them a parnosa, so that they're able to be self-sufficient in life. V'odat alahem zebeis chayehem. A livelihood. Es haderech. What does it mean, the path? Zug milas chasodim. This refers, teach them to be ba'alei chesed. Asher yelchu, ze biker cholim. This refers to visiting the sick. They should go to visit the sick. Ba, right in it, what does this refer to? Zukvura, teaches them to bury the dead. Ves hama'aseh, the action, ze hadin. This refers, I will say, ultimately again, to the halacha, adhering to the halacha. Asher ya'ason, that they shall do, zulifnim mishuras hadin. Don't just teach them the halacha, right, what they have to do, but rather teach them the concept of also going above and beyond the letter of the law. Amar Mar, so we're going to dash this a little bit. It's a beautiful braisa. Amar Mar, Asher Yelchu, Zeh Bikur Cholim, Haynu Gimilas Chasodim. I don't understand. Bikur, why do I need, why does it have to say Yelchu, go, refers to Bikur Cholim? Why doesn't Bikur Cholim fall under the general umbrella of Chesed? To which the Gemara says it does, except lo nitzrucha ela le ben gilo. Both said, this is amazing. This refers to visiting someone who is your own age. They both said, a ben gilo often means not just your own age, but sometimes also means, like we saw a few days ago, about your same mazel. Your same mazel. Well, we'll go with your own age. Why? The Amar Mar, ben gilo, notel echa mishishin bechayo. Let's say when you visit someone who's ill and they're your own age, you take 1/60th of their illness. Now, there are actually two conflicting Gemaras. The one Gemara actually teaches us that anytime you go to visit someone, everyone takes 1/60th of the illness. There's another version of the Gemara that says only a ben gilo, only someone who's like a contemporary, like a peer, same age, takes 1/60th. So as I said, I would have thought the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim applies to who? only people who are not my own age. But to go ahead and visit someone who's my own age, where I have to take some of their sickness, perhaps I shouldn't be chayiv in that. Therefore, the pasuk teaches me that you have to do bikur cholim even when Rabbosai, even in a situation where I end up taking a 60th of the holy. Ba zukvura. So remember again the Gemara Darshan. Va, this refers to you have to participate in burial. Hainu gemilas chasadim. Again, why is burial broken out by itself? Isn't burial part of the general obligation to do chasad? Lo nitzvacha ela lezakin ve'in lefi kavodo. Oh, Rabbosai, this is amazing. This daf refers to a case of an older person, and again, even though it normally would be beneath the dignity of an older person to start filling in a ditch, but never start burying something, but nevertheless, when it comes to the kvura of a mace, even a zakin is obligated to participate in that. Asher yasun, that they shall do, zu lifnim mishuras hadin. Rabbosai, this ultimately refers to going above and beyond the letter of the law. Rabbosai, this is a dramatic gemara. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, lo charva ela al shadanu ba din Torah. So the Gemara says, why was Yerushalayim, why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Because the Jews conducted themselves in accordance with the explicit letter of the law. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, what's wrong with that? Ela dine dinigista ledainu, what should they go ahead and judge the people in accordance with some corrupt law? Meaning, isn't judging people with the exact with Torah law a good thing? To which the Gemara says, ela ima shemidu dineim al din Torah, rather, Rabbosai, what it means is that the people conducted themselves in accordance with the strict letter of the law and did not go above and beyond the letter of the law. Rabbosai, so this is a very strange Gemara because the mice again, first of all, it's strange because it seems to be, first of all, I just want to point out the Marsha says over here, it's very important, Marsha, that Beis Din can never compel people to go lifnim mishuras hadin. This is why, for example, in Hilchos Dayanin, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that when litigants come to Beis Din, so the first thing the Dayan asks them is, do you want din or do you want pshara? Right? Are you looking for justice or are you looking for compromise? So, and the Shulchan Aruch says that the judges try to encourage the parties whenever possible to always go for pshara, because that's the lifnim mishuras hadin. But the court system, Beis Din, can never mandate pshara, can never mandate lifnim mishuras hadin. They could just encourage the litigants to conduct themselves lifnim mishuras hadin. But the bigger kasha is, how could the Gemara say that Yerushalayim was destroyed because the people conducted themselves according to the letter of the law and not above and beyond, not lifnim mishuras hadin? First of all, there's sinas chinam, right? There's gilarai shichas tam avod zora. I mean, the Gemara talks about, so there's a beautiful Ben Yehoyada, my favorite sefer, one of my favorite svarim. The Ben Yoyada says, oh, I didn't mark it up, I'm sorry. So the Ben Yoyada says, let me just find this for you very quickly. So Ben Yoyada says like this. He says, Kasha, v'chibishtil shalonagub amidas chasidus ticharev Yerushalayim. So he'll say, first of all, again, lifnim mishuras hadin is like amidas chasidus. It means going above and beyond the letter of the law. So because the Jews weren't exceedingly pious, Yerushalayim was destroyed, listen to how beautiful this is. He says a lot more. He says, Nimtza, I'm skipping a little bit. He says, Nimtza, well, actually, I'm not going to skip. He said, look at this Gemara Maseches. He quotes Gemara Maseches Brachos. Omer Malach Hashem Tzvei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ksiv Asher Lo Yisa Panim, Uksiv Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha. So the Malachim complained to God. They say, God, the Torah says Lo Yisa Panim, that God will not show favor. God will not show favor to those who do not deserve, to those who don't deserve it. Yet the pasuk says, "Yisa Hashem panav elecha," which the Chash Baruch Hu does show favor. So what does Chash Baruch Hu answer? Amar lahem, "Ani kasafti b'torah v'achalta v'savato v'irachto v'hem diktikwal atman ad kizayis." Chash Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, "You know, I only told my children that they only have to bench when they're satiated, when they're sated. But yet, when they eat a kizayis of bread, they bench." So what's the pshat? So says the answer so beautifully. He says, "Nimsa Yisrael im yasu lifnim mishuras hadin, as mida kineged mida yasa Hakadosh Baruch Hu yiman lifnim mishuras hadin, ve'ein ma'anishim kefi chiyuvam al averos shebiyadam." For lachin kevan de lo avro lifnim mishuras hadin charu shalom. So let's listen to this. Ben says something amazing. Ben Yehuda says, When we go lifnei mishuras hadin, when we go above and beyond in the way we interact with one another, the way we treat each other, in the way we observe our Yiddishkeit, the Ribono Shel Olam goes lifnei mishuras hadin with us. So if I don't just live by the letter of the law, but I go above and beyond, God goes above and beyond as well. This is, of course, the famous Vart of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov says, Hashem Tzilcha. So everybody translates it as, Kadosh Baruch Hu is your shade. The Baal Shem Tov says, no, it means Hashem is your shadow. That God interacts with us the way we interact with Him. So if I go above and beyond, if I live a life of Lifnei Mishuras Hadin, both in my Beit Adam L'Makom and my Beit Adam L'Chavero, so the Ribono Shel Olam treats me in kind. That's the Ben Yehuda, that's what Gemara means when it says, L'Charva Yerushalayim Ela, and they didn't go through. Yerushalayim was destroyed because the people weren't living lifnei mishuras hadin. If when there's no lift, if I don't go above and beyond, I don't give God, so to speak, the ability to go above and beyond. If I do more than what's expected of me, then the Ribono Shel Olam does more, quote unquote, of what's expected of him. So if I go above and beyond in my interpersonal relationships, I go above and beyond in my avot, in my spiritual service, then the Ribono Shel Olam goes above and beyond in overlooking certain averos, goes above and beyond in being a Baal Chesed, goes above and beyond in being a Baal Rachamim as well, says the Mishnah. Ezohi Aveda. So I'll say, so what is the case of an Aveda? Now we're going to discuss, we're going to question this Lashon in just a little bit. But what is an Aveda? Matzah Chamar Opara Ro'in Baderech. We'll say, if I find an ox, a donkey, or a cow wandering in the road, Ein Zo'a, or I should say not wandering, Ro'in means grazing on the road, Ein Zo'a Aveda. We'll say, that's not called a lost object. Because the assumption over here is that the animal is grazing. But if I find the donkey, and let's say its load is overturned, or para ratza ben akramim, or a cow running between the vineyards. So we'll say again, like we saw before, running between the vines. So remember again, it's dangerous for an animal to run between the vines for two reasons. Dangerous for the vines, but it's also dangerous because the animal gets bruised. So such an owner would never let an animal do that. So that's an aveda. That's usually a lost animal. So harizu aveda. Hechziru ubarcha, hechziru ubarcha. Afilo arba vechamisha pamim, chayv lachzira. We'll say, if I find an animal and I return it, and it runs away again and I return it, even four or five times, I'm obligated to return it each and every time. Shneimar hashev teshivim. So what's the lashon of hashev teshivim means? You have to return it no matter how many times. Hayah batal misala. Let's say I was working and I came across the aveda, and now if I stop working, I'm going to lose out on a sela. Lo yomar lo tein li sela. I can't say to the owner of the object, once I return his object to him, now you owe me a sela. Ela no sein lo scharo kipoel. Rather, the owner of the object is obligated to pay me like a worker. Now we'll discuss exactly what that means in the Gemara. Im yesh sham beizdin. Rabbi said, if there is a beizdin present, masna bifnei beizdin. Then Rabbi said, I can make a tnai in front of beizdin. What's the tnai in front of beizdin? I can say to Bezin, look, understand, I make X amount of dollars. And if I go ahead and I stop my work in order to retrieve the Aveda, it's going to cost me X. I am willing to go ahead and return the Aveda as long as the owner compensates me for my time, for my loss. So if you make this tnai in front of a Beis Din, then Enochinami, the tnai can be binding. Obviously, we'll have to talk about the parameters of that tnai. Im ein sham Beis Din, but if there is no Beis Din there, then Bifnei mi yisne shalo kodem. So we'll say, if there's no Beis Din there, therefore there's no one for me to make a tnai, bless you. There's no way for this to be binding, and therefore again, my finances come first. So what this says over here, this goes back to what we learned before, that Lamaise, if I can make it to the tnai in a Beis Din, therefore essentially going ahead and ensuring that I do not suffer a loss, then I can go to retrieve the item. But Lamaisa, again, if there's no Beis Din there to make the tnai in front of, and I'm going to suffer a loss, I'm not obligated to suffer a loss for someone else's Aveda, my financial well-being comes before someone else's, and I'd be permitted to go out and turn away from the Aveda. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow. Yeah.